Officially 1 hour until your favorite show premieres. Time to get some snacks delivered through Instacart. Okay, let's get some popcorn, seltzer, chocolate-covered almonds, and... Wait, did they release the whole season? Better cart some ice cream for the two-part finale. When your day should be ending but a new season is starting, the world is your cart. Visit Instacart.com or download the app and get free delivery on your first order. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum order $10. Additional terms apply.
Kevin Matt talks with Matt Hardy.
There's nothing like a wrestling fan, you know, for better or for worse. How do you handle that, though? We're talking about people talking about your family, what they don't know about your family or your brother or you. How does one handle that from a day-to-day basis?
Something I joke about with the Young Bucks all the time. I said, if you would vanity search Matt Hardy on Twitter, I said, after you got through 100 replies, you'd want to quit the business and never be seen again. It's just, you just learn to deal with it. You know what I mean?
It's the Kick Rocks Wrestling Podcast with Evan T. Mack. Subscribe now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't worry, I have emerged from yet another New Heights rabbit hole. For those of you who don't know, the New Heights podcast is the Kelce brothers, and they do not get straight to the point. They remind me of me and this radio show. You all know I take the scenic route. I do not go straight to the point unless I happen to have a time crunch. But that's not what a four-hour radio show is all about. And so, actually, funny note about me and my previous network. I worked for a program director who hated the fact that I would not get straight to the point and that I would tell stories and I would take my time and I would meander and stop to smell the flowers. Nah, he thought that was a really bad idea. He wanted me to go chop, chop, right to the point. Just another reason why I did not fit the formula at my previous network. So here I am, and I enjoy taking the scenic route and telling stories while the Kelce brothers enjoy doing the same thing. And because the two of them know each other so well and because it's been such an emotional season for them, actually on their podcast they call this the best season they've ever had because they were able to talk more than they've ever spoken during a season before. The most fun they've ever had in a football season because they got to share it. And of course, because they started this podcast. And so now they're communicating a lot more. So really cool. I enjoy listening to them. But I will say I'm okay with it being the off season and me not having to listen for a little bit because they take 2 hours, and it's a lot to listen to when you're trying to figure out what's the meat, where is the best audio to bring back for the show. And so poor Jay, he woke up to, I don't know, maybe 14 text messages of me trying to tell him, this is what I liked, this is where it was, after they talked about the pregame and the national anthem, which, by the way, they both agree was the best they've ever heard. Then they went through the game chronologically, though Travis could not say the word chronologically. Why? Because, and I quote, I'm still bleeping hammered. That was what he said. This was Tuesday when they recorded the podcast. So yeah, he was having a little trouble talking. Maybe about the same as Patrick Mahomes at the victory parade on Wednesday. A sea of red in downtown Kansas City for a victory parade that had a lot of flair, a lot of personality, and a lot of beer. Mahomes busting loose like you don't generally see unless he's got a football in his hand. Apparently, he's just as creative with his attire. He's got a WWE victory belt that really covers his entire midsection. And he was never without a Coors Light in his hand. And I don't know what he was wearing. Goggles sideways on his head, I think, is what he was wearing. So they had a good time, and I had a good time listening to the Kelces go over their Super Bowl experience, which actually got really emotional for the two of them. Wait until you hear the two of them break down in tears. Neither one of them can speak really for probably 15, 20 seconds, and they have a hard time talking as they're addressing one particular moment and one particular element of their Super Bowl week. So pretty cool for me to live it through their eyes and ears. I actually really enjoyed it, but it does require 2 hours of your life if you're going to listen to the whole thing. And so I did an entire workout. I biked 13 miles. I made my dinner. I got ready for work after my shower. All of that while I was listening to the Kelsey's. So yes, I've emerged safely from the New Heights rabbit hole. It sounds like it'll be the last one they do until next season. But according to those services that track podcasts, they are in the top five, not of sports podcasts, but of all podcasts in all categories on both Apple and Spotify, which is where I was listening. Top five of all podcasts. And a couple of the ones that are in the top five above them are international podcasts that have nothing to do with sports. So really impressive how they've turned this into a money-making venture. They have all kinds of sponsors. I mean, they're going to be quite the businessmen whenever they choose to hang it up. So some pretty cool stuff. And I not only took notes and sent Jay a bunch of texts, but I also tweeted about it. And we wanted to make sure we bring you some of the good stuff just because it's rare. We may never see it again. We've only seen it once. Two brothers playing in the same Super Bowl. So it was cool to hear them go over it without any type of filter. Trust me, we filtered. They do not filter. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, @LawRadio. If you want to know what was making me happy on Wednesday, well, I took a photo. It's there. Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. But that's all I'm going to tell you. So you can check that out on my Twitter. I just retweeted. You know what? I will ask producer Jay to help me put the same post up on Facebook. And you can see that too. Our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I don't know if producer Jay has had the time. He's been very busy this week. I don't know if he's had the time to go and look at our YouTube analytics, but I see you all. I told you if we get to 4,000 subscribers, wait a minute. When we get to 4,000 subscribers, and honestly, we could do it by producer Jay's birthday, which is now 9 days away, 12 days away. Whoops, I'm going the wrong direction. My math, it's wherever the Patrick Mahomes brain cells wet while he was drinking all that Coors Light. His birthday is 12 days away. And so if you want, we could make him eat broccoli for his birthday because he has agreed that he will eat and I thought of this on Wednesday because I had pasta penne with my favorite pasta sauce and broccoli mixed in as some veggies. I like to eat my pasta with veggies. And I thought of how Jay has agreed to eat a bowl of broccoli, not burnt, not fried, just broccoli. You can have salt and pepper on it. That's how you can even have a little bit of oil and vinegar if that's what you want, but you cannot fry it. We're not frying or, as you call it, burning the broccoli. We're not doing that. It's actual healthy broccoli, green, like green broccoli.
Can I have pasta with it too or no?
No. Straight. No. Well, maybe. We'll see. We'll see. If it's on your birthday, then sure. Maybe you can have some pasta too. So I kind of feel like while you're out next week, because Jay is out all next week, while you're out next week and then returning on your birthday,
yes,
we are going to see those YouTube numbers skyrocket. All we need is another, say, 800 subscribers, and we will hit 4,000, and Jay will have to eat broccoli here on the air. You know how we do Chubby Bunny on the air? Oh, yeah.
No.
Jay's going to eat broccoli on the air. Right, Jay?
I don't know if that was originally part of the first
agreement. I don't care. I'm amending the agreement. Be like Darth Vader. Pray that I don't alter it further. I've altered the deal. Pray that I don't alter it further.
All right. I guess I agree to that. I have to. How could I say no?
Yes. I don't know that we'll make you do a video. That's up to you. You love video. I just, anything for the sake of the radio show.
We'll see how it goes with my... We'll see how the process goes, and it would be make a good video or not. I would say I'm leaning towards yes, but, you know, we'll see.
You eating on video?
Again, we'll see how...
How long do you think it'll take you to eat a bowl of broccoli?
How big is the
bowl? We only have 4 hours.
I don't know. I might need to extend it for 2 days, but...
No. Hell no. You're eating the broccoli. You're not playing with the broccoli.
How big of a bowl are we talking?
We're not Veggie Tales. We're talking about a standard bowl of broccoli. You know, like a cereal bowl of broccoli.
Could probably get it down in 10 minutes.
All right. Well, no one wants to watch you eat for 10 minutes. I mean, they have those cams at the zoo, those animal cams at the zoo where the animals eat. No, I'm just saying they're a lot cuter than humans when they eat just because they hold it in their furry hands and sometimes they roll over sideways. Babies are kind of cute when they eat. I don't know that full-grown humans are cute when they eat. Nah. So we don't necessarily have to have a video of you eating. Just proof. We have to have proof.
A reaction. Maybe it's like a quick reaction video, like to the first couple bites.
With green broccoli in your teeth?
A clip, maybe, if you will.
With green broccoli in your teeth?
Hopefully not.
You're going to do it on your own YouTube channel. It'll crash our YouTube channel if you eat on video and then you give a quick react. React?
Like
react? You give a quick react video with green broccoli in your teeth.
Hopefully we can avoid that and get a toothbrush before the filming.
But... Ew. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay, that's good. I don't even know why. It's my fault I brought it up. I'm just saying we've got 12 days, not even 12 days, close, but not quite a full 12 days before producer Jay's birthday. He's getting old. He needs to eat more vegetables. So all we're asking is that you subscribe to our YouTube channel. And by the time he comes back from his vacation, oh, what fun we will have. So yes, check out our videos. We got a bunch of them. My family who doesn't, well, I mean, I think they know what I do for a living, but some of my extended family, like aunts and uncles, they've been watching the YouTube videos and they think they're really funny. Like, okay, good. That's what we're going for. Fun, entertaining. So you can check those out on your own time. But we're glad to have you with us. 855-212-4CBS. That's our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS. So yes, we'll get to the Chiefs victory parade. We will get to the Kelce podcast because I think you'll enjoy it. I mean, that is two afternoons in a row now that I have spent... Well, it's been a total 3 hours. Although my show is longer than all that put together. So for those of you who listen to the entire thing, thank you. It's an investment. But yes, while I was writing emails and catching up on my life on Tuesday, I spent an hour listening to Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee podcast. And then I spent almost 2 hours listening to the New Heights podcast with the Kelce brothers. This is what I mean when I say... We can't miss you if you never go away, football. I am okay with football going away for a little while so I can think about something else. I do appreciate podcasts, though, because these are interviews that we are unlikely to get here on the show. Every now and then, maybe. During Super Bowl week, we have access to athletes that we don't normally. And we do try. We work during the year to try to get athletes on our show. To that end, we often will record interviews with athletes in the afternoons when they're done with practice or whatever else. We do reach out to teams on a regular basis, and we try. But it's not as easy as it sounds. Anyway. One of the great elements of the podcast is that not only do you have audio and perspective that comes straight from these athletes, but you have it in a setting where they are extremely comfortable. Rodgers wouldn't do the Pat McAfee show if he didn't feel like he could say whatever he wants. Clearly, we know that. He actually uses it to... It's like his propaganda. It's like Aaron Rodgers' propaganda.
Now, I like to eat animals.
Stop it. There are so many other good drops from that show on Tuesday, and that's the one that you're going to use. I mean, Jay.
Animals.
Okay, I got it. Let's use some of the other ones. They're better. Some of the other ones, like when he talks about my inner circle. You don't have my phone number. You're not getting my phone number. I mean, he sounds like such a snot when he's talking about that. Anyway, my point is that Rodgers is extremely comfortable. Even if he does have agendas, he's extremely comfortable on that show because he knows that he can say whatever it is that he wants to say, and it's a safe space, right? Well, the Kelces, trust me when I say they're completely comfortable talking to each other. So even if I were to get Travis Kelce on this show, and I love Travis, it would be amazing to have Travis on the show or Jason, either one. They're great talkers. they're not going to ever be in the same mode as they are when they're on their podcast. They know they can use whatever language they want, and they're speaking to each other. So it's a different level of comfort. It's a safe space, if you will. And so because of that, even if I would get them in interview situations like I did with Matt Overton during Super Bowl week, the Cowboys long snapper, or Rodney McLeod, the Colts safety, and both of those guys were awesome. J.C. Treader, same thing. When they're speaking to family and friends, it's different. And for that reason, these podcasts are valuable. Same thing with Tom Brady. Now, there's always going to be a level of kind of protection, self-protection, if you will, for Tom Brady. He's a little more private than maybe the Kelce brothers are. He's definitely more private than Aaron Rodgers. But Brady is learning how to open up. He's learning how to share just enough that people feel like they're getting some insight on his life and his career. But you know when he's doing it? With his friend, his BFF, his Spanky, Jim Gray. Wait, is that what he calls him? Spanky? No, wait. Hold, what does he call him?
Scratchy.
Scratchy, sorry. Close enough.
Close, same thing.
I knew it started with an S. Yeah, it's with his boy Scratchy. We just take that out of the podcast. Actually, it was probably funny. I hope you're laughing. Yeah, Tom Brady's learning. And you can hear him practicing on his podcast. As a 25-year broadcaster, I can hear him starting to practice and starting to exercise those analyst muscles. He has to. He has to be ready. If you know Brady, you know that he's not going to do anything half-assed. Brady's not going to show up, sit in the broadcast booth, and start talking. That's not how he does life. He is a maniacal... he's a maniacal prep guy. That just sounded so unbelievably awkward. See, he would never say anything like that. He's maniacal when it comes to prep. Maybe not as maniacal as Peyton Manning, but these two guys have been winners their whole life, and they've been successful at everything they've done. Why? Because they spend time preparing and because they pour all that effort into being ready as much as you possibly can. So again, with Tom Brady, he's not quite as open or unguarded as Aaron Rodgers, but in a safe space on his own podcast or that Man in the Arena video series that he did, he was the producer of that series, right? His production company was the producer of that series. So he has creative control over it, and he feels as though it's a safe space where he can open up. So this is why with the podcasts, as I say, they're really valuable because you're getting a side to athletes that you wouldn't get otherwise, whether it be because they're in charge, whether it be because they've got someone they trust to speak to. Although in Aaron's case, McAfee not quite in his inner circle, so maybe not that trustworthy, or whether it's the Kelce brothers who are speaking to each other. Yes, there is value in having, there's credibility, there's equity in having athletes on the air here. And we love that when we have the opportunity. And I do my preparation too, so I can always add a personal element to these interviews. You'll never hear me asking an athlete whether or not he deems his team stretch a dynasty. Nope, not going to do that. But I do enjoy speaking to them. It's just, it's different when they're comfortable and it's their own podcast. And so I've actually had fun. It's just a lot of extra listening, which is good. As a radio broadcaster, the number one skill that you need to have, this is what I'll be telling my students, number one skill you need to have is the ability to listen. I didn't have that early in my career, and now that I know how to listen, I'm a much better host. It sounds odd, but I'm telling you, it is the truth. So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We've got a little bit of NBA as the league finally winds down heading into the All-Star break. It begins on Friday, but I think there's only 3-4 games coming up on Thursday. So the majority of teams are done before the All-Star break. The Celtics maintain their best record in the NBA, but in the East, to be sure. And they have the return of an all-star. Plus, we've got yet another triple-double for Nikola Jokic, the two-time defending league MVP, and the Lakers. Are we seeing a peak of what it might be like with the Lakers coming out of the all-star break in this retooled lineup? And then Chiefs victory parade, as well as the Kelce brothers unplugged, plus a very emotional Tom Izzo attending a vigil for the Michigan State students in the wake of the shooting that happened earlier this week. And Tom Izzo is a very emotional guy. He cries on a fairly routine basis. If you pay attention to College Hoops and Spartan Hoops, you know that that's who he is. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He's fully invested. But this is different, right? This is a different type of tear. It's a different type of anguish. We are glad you're with us. Always appreciate your support and the time that you spend listening. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Inside the arc, it's Nikola. Nikola hands off behind him to Casey. Down low, Joker, layup good, and a foul as well. Joker on the right side over to Michael Porter Jr. Back down to Joker. Spin move, baseline, off to a cutter. Green! And he dunked it home with two hands hard. Brown has it across the timeline here for Denver. Throws it off to Nikola Jokic. Backdoor cut, Brown. Dunk! Two hands! And there it is. Triple-double Nikola Jokic, 14, 12, and 10, his 21st of the year.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jason Kosnicki on Denver Nuggets Radio. Couple of gaudy numbers for the team overall, and that includes their home record as they head into the All-Star break. It is 27-4. And right now, they have a healthy lead for home court advantage as what would be the top seed in the West. They sit at 41-18 going into the All-Star break. And yes, Nikola Jokic, 14 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. Got a little help from Jeff Green on this night. A season high for the grizzled vet with 24 points.
Well, I finally made a shot. I finally made a shot tonight. But my teammates found me. I just tried to play winning basketball, cut hard, run the floor, and my teammates found me.
On Altitude TV, yes, the Nuggets get a healthy hand from Jeff Green along with the standard Jokic, and they are a five-game leader atop the Western Conference. And so there's just a lot of ways in which they can hurt you. And then you've got guys who step up that maybe you weren't expecting as you're putting together the game plan. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Number one in the West with a five-game lead, not a bad space to occupy as you head into a little vacation.
For us to continue to find ways to win and have different guys step up every night, I think it speaks to our chemistry, our depth, we got a really good team in there. My message to them is simple. Coming out of the break, 23 games to go. Enjoy some time away. Make sure you do something. Be safe. And the 23 games after the break are not going to be easy, starting with a two-game road trip in Cleveland and Memphis. But it's been a hell of a season to this point. The biggest challenge is not being satisfied, staying hungry and staying motivated.
You look at the second quarter there, the start, they went on an 11-2 run. Give them credit, their bench is good. And so for that, we kind of let the game get away. It's a one-point game after one. You're on the road, you're sitting in a good place against the best team in the West. And so we have to look at doing a better job in that starting that second quarter. We just got off to a really, really slow start.
You hear the reaction of Jason Kidd. They don't have a margin for error. They don't really know teams have a margin for error against the Nuggets because they will make you pay, especially in Denver. A 35-19 second quarter in favor of the Nuggets.
It's a shoot around.
No Kyrie Irving. I'm not going to say a word. I'm just don't shoot the messenger. All I'm saying is there was no Kyrie Irving. He had lower back pain or lower back spasm. So Luka played, yes. Kyrie did not. I didn't say anything.
Oh, Kyrie, what are you doing at home?
Hey, the new look Lakers may be on to something.
McCollum. Bounce pass stolen by D'Angelo Russell. Here come the Lakers 3-on-1. Russell to LeBron. Lay it up and in. Timeout, New Orleans. Around a pick from LeBron. Reeves at the free throw line. Bounce pass. LeBron to the rim. Foul and a bucket. LeBron was cracked in the face and had the peace of mind to lay it in anyway. AD throws it ahead to Troy Brown. Brown back to Davis. Lay it up and in. Brown was flying out of bounds, threw an alley-oop to Davis, who caught it and laid it in.
I know it's the Pelicans. No one needs to remind me, but did you know even without Zion, the Pelicans are above 500? The Lakers are not. So this is a good win for them at home. They're now 14-14 inside their own arena. But I do believe if you look at their roster, and yes, they need Anthony Davis to stay healthy. LeBron has to stay healthy as well. But I saw a pretty impressive fast break run by D'Angelo Russell settling right in with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Malik Beasley out there as well. He can be a good defender. And now they've got more depth coming off of the bench. Dennis Schroeder with a double-figure scoring game off of the bench. So there is the possibility as they get used to one another, and LeBron will take it. He'll take this new group.
We're going to continue to build off tonight, and I think our skill set all kind of fit each other. With Vando and D'Lo and Bees, three guys that just know how to play the game. We're all just trying to, you know, get the ball popping, get the ball moving, you know, have equal opportunity, and everybody's trying to play to their advantage out on the floor. So, you know, tonight we had 32 assists. You know, in our starting lineup was at 9, 14. 22 assists in our start lineup. That's huge. So, we want to try to continue that going forward.
That is a big number. 32 assists on what was 44 made baskets. That's a nice ratio, nice percentage. If you can share the basketball like that, it becomes that much more challenging for a defense, especially if they're crisp passes and you utilize everybody on the floor.
Get the ball popping.
The pumpkin is popping, because then you have to chase. The defense starts to chase if they can't stay home and individually guard. And these are athletes. D'Angelo is an athletic guard. LeBron, we know what he brings to the table. Anthony Davis is, well, he's a mismatch for anyone. And so if they can stay healthy and they can play where each guy is really taking care of his business, then they're a difficult matchup for other teams. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Still some real estate to make up, but we've talked about the West and how everybody outside of maybe the top three are grouped together there in a big old clump. We'll call it a clump. Hey, Jason Tatum was back on the court for the Boston Celtics, as was Marcus Smart. So welcome back, Marcus. His first game with the Celtics after a lengthy absence. And it's not like the Celtics have fallen off the map or anything, or off the edge of the flat earth. But they're different when Marcus Smart is out there. Not only is he a smart guard with a ton of experience, but he's also a tough physical guard. He defends hard-nosed. He gives them grit. He gives them a little bit of an edge and intensity. Similar to, say, what a Draymond Green does for the Golden State Warriors. And he's a guy that when he gets hot, now he doesn't always score, but when he gets hot, he can provide another scoring option out there too. But mostly they just love the fact that he's a strong defender, one of the best defenders in the NBA. And so he returns to the tune of 9 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and 6 steals in the Celtics win over the Pistons.
Feels real good. Feels like something was missing in my life. So it feels real good to be back out there with my team. My coaching staff, and just the energy that we brought.
He's a facilitator. You know, he's trying to find the best guy open. He's a guy on the floor that has great chemistry with everybody. And when you have a player like that, you can plug him in at any point in the game with whatever lineup, and he's going to help. Defensively, I think it was clear. I think he made some tremendous defensive plays that really got us going, helped turn the game around when they were getting momentum. We pushed the lead when he was on.
Marcus Smart, as I say, filled up the stat sheet. Malcolm Brogdon had 25 points and 6 assists. He was a great pickup for the Celtics in the offseason. Let's see. All-Star Game is on the horizon. Jason Tatum is taking part in the three-point shooting contest. He goes 6 of 10 from beyond the arc in this game, and he called it, are we talking about practice? What are we talking about? We talking about practice?
Just got some good looks and got into a rhythm. I got a 3-point contest coming up, so trying to get myself ready for that.
Yep.
Because I'm trying to win.
Practice.
Flat out.
Practice for the All-Star Game 3-point shooting contest. Bucks are done now before. Oh, no, I take that back. They play Thursday. Scratch that from the record. They did not play tonight, but they play Thursday. So they have one more game before the break. But the Celtics sit at 42-17. The Bucks, because they're idle tonight, are at 40-17. So, but same number of losses, only a game back in the Eastern Conference, and those are the only two teams that have a winning percentage above 70 as we head toward the All-Star break. So they're setting the tone. You do have a small gap between those two teams and then the Sixers. The Cavaliers a little farther back, but they're 15 games above 500. And then the Brooklyn Nets still hanging in there at 10 games above 500, even as they retool their lineup. Mikal Bridges with a career-high 45 in one of these early games for the Nets. And you can say they have no star power, and maybe that's true. I mean, I think if they don't cause any drama in the eyes of Nets fans, they can be superstars of another stratosphere. But it's a bunch of guys that haven't necessarily played together. They've changed a lot. And so they're going to have to really rely on the coaching staff. And I think if I'm Jacques Vaughn, I take guys who are willing to play hard, to play well together, to forsake any type of outside distraction or drama or headlines that have nothing to do with what's happening on the court. I'd rather coach that team. And it's got to be a bit of a relief, certainly for the front office with Sean Marks and maybe even the owner too, as much as they wanted to bring in stars that would really spark attention. I mean, they got the attention in Brooklyn, just didn't ultimately result in their goal of a championship or anywhere close, to be honest. All right, top of the hour, Jonathan Jones. First time ever on our show. Really excited about this. He is the lead insider for the NFL and CBS. And we've tried to get him on the show before, but he's got a really busy schedule. And so finally, with the Super Bowl in the rearview mirror, able to talk to him. And everything's on the table. Like Calvin Ridley, for instance. He is eligible for reinstatement from the NFL after a year away because of that gambling suspension. Remember the parlay? Was it $1,500 parlay or something like that that he put down? He ends up getting suspended for a year. He's eligible for reinstatement. The Chiefs celebrating their victory. And so we'll hear a little bit from them. Just beware. This is the Chiefs unlike you hear them very often. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
As Mahomes steps up, he's going to scramble. He's at the 40, bad ankle, 30, bad ankle, 20. Tackled from behind down to the Eagle 18-yard line, a 25-yard scramble. What bad ankle. He is limping back to the huddle. Don't tell me, don't underestimate how tough Patrick Mahomes is. Kaiser White, the ex-Charger, tackled him from behind. The Chiefs have first down and 10 at the Eagle 18-yard line with 2:23 to go in the game, and the game tied 35-35. The veteran who's played in more postseason games than any other Chief, tied with Travis Kelce. Townsend will hold it. 11 seconds left in Super Bowl 57, 35-35 tie. The kick is good, and Kansas City leads 38-35 with 8 seconds to go in regulation in Super Bowl 57.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mitch Holtis, Chiefs Radio Network. The game is done. All that was left was to celebrate with roughly a million of their closest friends in downtown Kansas City. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Just before I let you hear this exchange between Travis Kelce and the crowd, I want you to know, and this was something I was listening for, I paid very close attention. In fact, I went back and listened to this stretch a couple of different times. When Travis and Jason Kelce got to post game, on their podcast because they went chronologically. They went over the entire pregame. They talked about mom. They talked about the national anthem. They talked about everything except for halftime, honestly, because I don't know if you saw this, but the Chiefs were threatened under penalty of death or something like that by Andy Reid that they better not even try to watch the halftime show. And this is long before the game started. So anyway, they didn't talk about Rihanna, but they talked about a lot of the other Super Bowl extras, what was happening during the coin flip. I thought that was really interesting because they were both out there with 100 other people while their mom is up on the big screen. Anyway, they get to post game. We're talking 90 minutes into their podcast, and some of the best stuff comes as they're talking about post game. Their first conversation, Jason sobbing with his mom when she finally gets to him. But also something else that they talked about is why Travis was going off about how nobody believed in us. And I mean nobody. And actually, Jay, if you have that, if you want to hear it, if you want to, I'm sorry, if you want to play it, because we'll get to his explanation of what he meant a little bit later. No joke, I'm looking up right now and there are the Kelce brothers hugging each other on the postgame field. This happens all the time on NFL Network. It's like NFL Network is reading my mind. So Travis was yelling about how nobody, and I mean nobody, gave us a reason. We'll hear it. Gave us a chance, I should say. Nobody had us winning this game. They both talked about it, and Jason kind of questioned him, and Travis explained why he said what he did. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. But you may have a clue as you hear him interact with the crowd on Wednesday once they finally got to their final resting place at the parade and they were all up on stage.
Let me take you back to 2022 in the month of maybe April. Maybe. Guys were getting signed left and right. The haters were saying that the Chiefs would never make the playoffs. The haters were saying the Chiefs were done. If you knew the Chiefs were gonna win the division, let me hear you say, hell yeah. All right now. If you knew the Chiefs were gonna get the number one seed, let me hear you say, hell yeah. I knew it, you knew it, but they ain't know it. If y'all knew that Patrick Mahomes was gonna win the MVP, let me get a hell yeah. If you knew the Kansas City Chiefs, we're gonna have the best offense in the National Football League. Let me hear you say, na 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 na. That's a good one right there. I like that one right there.
Before we started this season, the AFC West said we were rebuilding. I'll be honest with you, I don't know what rebuilding means. In our rebuilding year, we're world champs. We're world champs.
And I'm not joking. Maybe Jay can find a snapshot of Mahomes and his attire. He's wearing this gigantic wrestling belt. It really covers his entire midsection. It would be like a gladiator heading into battle and his armor over his midsection. And then his plate, his metal plate of armor. And then he's got, I think those were his goggles turned sideways on his head, almost like someone would wear a visor flip sideways on his head. And he's got the trophy at one point in one hand and Coors Light in the other. In this particular instance, he had the microphone in one hand and Coors Light in the other. And so, yeah, he was definitely having a good time, a la Tom Brady going back to 2020 after the Bucs beat the Chiefs in what was their second Super Bowl appearance. But now they've got the 2 in 4 years and lots of promises.
I just want to let y'all know that this is just the beginning. We ain't done yet. So I'll make sure to hit y'all back next year, and I hope the crowd's the same. Appreciate y'all. Let's go, baby.
This is a remarkable group of men
led by the undisputed best player in pro football, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick is a generational talent, and he's the first person this century to win both the MVP and Super Bowl MVP honors in the same season.
You are the kingdom, and let's give it one for the world. How about those Chiefs?
I said it after the Super Bowl, and I'll say it again. We've known for a long time that Andy Reid is a Hall of Fame coach, but I'll take it a step further. I truly believe that Andy is one of the greatest coaches in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to watch them. It always is to see these victory parades because and it's not really because of the alcohol, just because they finally have the chance to let their guard down, right? The best teams, the winning teams, are the ones that they stay locked in as much as possible. And yes, you've got holidays, you've got different moments where we might get them relaxed and relieved. For the most part, it begins with training camp. It begins with the preseason. And for the best teams, the teams that have championship aspirations, it continues all the way through this point or whatever point they are done. And they finally get to unwind. They finally get to breathe. They finally get to have fun and just let it all hang out. And yes, the alcohol does help. But there was a lot of love flowing, not just alcohol, a lot of love flowing in Kansas City on Wednesday. So first, Travis Kelce, which I kind of feel like might be Hall of Flame material, good stuff, along with Patrick Mahomes. I got to be honest, I don't know what rebuilding means, but if this is rebuilding, we just won a championship in our rebuilding year. Then the voice of Clark Hunt touting his MVP quarterback on top of the world again, Andy Reid. I don't know if he spoke about cheeseburgers, but in this particular moment, he uses his other signature crowd rally or his rally cry. And then Clark Hunt again on Andy Reid, who absolutely will be a Hall of Famer. No doubt about that. Whenever he chooses to hang it up, but we know he has indicated he is not going to hang it up, that Patrick Mahomes and this particular group give him new life, kind of a resurgence and excitement, and he's enjoying it. I have at times, and I think this has been a concern at times with Andy, is his health and making sure that he's taking better care of himself. He's got good people around him, and he wants to be around for a long time, so all of that I think is good. It's just, yeah, it's a fun way for these guys to celebrate with their fans when very often they don't get to do that. They don't get to connect with their fans on a regular basis. So, and they're full of characters, too. Jonathan Jones is next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.